Hi, I'm Renee Scherzer, and welcome to the Lightwork Podcast, a place where we explore leadership, faith, purpose, and the deeper work that shapes who we become. At Lightwork, we believe success is a wonderful milestone, but is never meant to be our identity. Real leadership begins within. Today's guest has spent years helping high-achieving women who appear to have it all on the outside, but are longing for something more meaningful on the inside. Working with women whose nervous systems are in survival mode. Sound familiar? Now, this conversation isn't just for women. Male listeners, I'm certain you will leave this conversation with insightful nuggets that you can take with you as well. Grace Brooks is a speaker, author, entrepreneur, and founder of a growing community that equips women to lead with confidence, purpose, faith, and authenticity. She spent 25 years as a professional organizer and self-identifies as a recovering hustler. I learn from her daily with all the tips she puts out on daily on social media. Grace is a new friend of mine, and I am so excited for today's conversation about identity, fulfillment, community, and of course, clutter, and becoming who you were meant to be. Grace, welcome to the Lightwork Podcast.
Thank you so much, Renee. This is going to be so much fun. I've been looking forward to this conversation, and I really appreciate that fabulous introduction. So thank you.
As I stuttered through some of my words here, I have so much I want to get out, but I've been so excited about this as well, especially after the journey I've been on. My community is your community. And so we're just going to get started. So I'm going to start from the beginning of Grace Brooks. So you had shared something on Instagram about your childhood. Can you share a little bit about what shaped you and where it took you with your career and to where you are today?
Yes. Well, thank you. So I think I know what you're referring to. And my story started out with a lot of shame and embarrassment. And it was not something that I talked about. So now later in life, I've learned about shame. I've learned about embarrassment. I've learned about my wounds, and now I'm here to talk about them. So growing up in a home that was full of clutter, I didn't have the order that I craved as a young child. And my father was an alcoholic. So I never knew when it was safe or not. So I learned to be hypervigilant, and I learned that I had to keep my own room neat and organized to feel safe in some sort of kind of order in my home. Now, at that time, I did not know that my nervous system was stuck in fight or flight. I just learned that about a handful of years ago. But that shaped my whole upbringing. It shaped the direction that I went for a career. So in 2001, I started my own business as a professional organizer, wanting to create order for people, wanting to create a sense of control for people. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved helping people behind the scenes, like support them so they can flourish, so they can thrive. And that is one of the avenues. That's one way that I was able to do it. And so now that I've learned and been working to heal my own nervous system, rewire my brain, I'm now out there doing that and helping women, because I had tied my productivity, my self-worth to my productivity. I just had tied it so many things. It all makes sense, because what's going on the inside is a reflection of what's going on.
Well, when you're younger, you don't have the words for that. You don't know. You're not told nervous system. And, you know, as you know, Grace and I met through a workshop these last 6 weeks. And as she's talking, I'm like, yes, yes, that's me. That is, I didn't have a word for it. I didn't even have a word for it until just the last 6 weeks of learning about the nervous system reset. So there are, you know, what, so now you work with many very incredible, successful women. Now, what is something that people often assume about them that you've learned in this work and journey that maybe is a myth or is not true?
You know, it's what I learned personally and professionally is that strong women we carry that we have it all together, that we don't feel any sort of weakness, and that we don't need help. And that is such a myth. I think the stronger the woman, the more baby she wants to be. Like, she wants to be held. She wants to be nurtured. She wants to be taken care of. But there is something inside her that says, nope, I can do this myself. I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
And that gets us, like, we wear this mask and we think we are weak if we ask for help.
Yes.
So yeah. I think that's a big myth. And really, we want to be taken care of too.
Yeah.
We want support.
Totally agree with you. Yeah. I was that person that had to do it all. And like from my childhood too, I learned to alchemize, you know, uncertainty and volatility and stress. I learned to, you know, my thing was that get on that path of achievement and just keep grinding, running away from that order. And so when you say about having other people do things, yeah, I, and a lot of my peers and stuff too, it's like, oh, I've got it. You know, I'll open my own door. I'll open it, do my own thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, when someone actually does something for you, it's like, oh my God, that felt so good. It's like, but we don't, we feel like that still is that sign of weakness. Now, I skipped ahead because I also want to know, what made you leave a very successful corporate career in the first place and decide to focus in this area with high achieving women? Like, what was that catalyst that made you kind of say, okay, I'm on this new journey. I feel like there's a purpose bigger than what I've already been doing up until now.
Yeah, I think it went to the deeper work inside. So as I built a great career being a professional organizer, I was on the show Hoarding Buried Alive. I had a book. You know, I had built a great community. I was known in my community for what I do. I was stuck in hustle mode during that. So I wasn't seeing anything that I was doing really as successful. It wasn't enough. I was still spinning my wheels, not quite getting where I wanted to go. And in 2018, I had hired a business coach to help me be even more productive, even though I was already a productivity coach and a time management coach. I was starting two more businesses as an ambitious woman, and it was to start a
business. That's what you do.
Yep. And sell a product on Amazon along with my organizing business. So I said, Hayden, my business coach that I'd hired, I need you to help me be even more productive. And he said, that is great, but we're going to start with your being. And I'm all, my being? I knew what he meant, but at that time, my prefrontal cortex part of my brain was shut down because I was all do.
Yes.
I was overwhelmed. And I said, I don't think you heard me correctly. I need you to help me be more productive. He said, I heard you correctly, but we're going to start with your being. And I literally thought at that time, I don't have time for this. And I was like, ooh.
And I've been there.
Yes. And I said to myself, Grace, you just spent money and hired this person to help you. You need to surrender, have trust, have faith. Let's hope you get out of it what you want. But you know what? Did I? No, I got even more out of it and not what I had expected. And it was a beautiful process. So that went, it took me on a journey, a deeper journey of rediscovering myself, figuring out more of my wounds and why I was doing what I was doing. And so I didn't want to hustle anymore. I didn't want to identify as that old version of me. And I'm now creating a career just with a completely different mindset where I myself is at the top of my priority list, my well-being. I'm not being put on the back burner. And I'm not out there to perform, to please, to do any of that. This is for me, my dream and how I want to do things. And I'm loving it.
Well, I'm sure your kids notice it because you've got your three kids, your two and your bonus kids. So you've got three kids too. So were they noticing a difference as you were going through and doing this inner work?
Yes, they have noticed. And it's showing up just in our relationship with each other, our dynamic. And my best friend always points that out to me. She's like, you've been doing the work, you know? And so it's showing up in your relationship with your children. And I'm grateful for that. I really am.
Oh, I love them.
Unfortunately, I have a different relationship with my nuclear family. You know, I don't see them doing the inner work that's needed. You know, so
yeah,
I am showing up how I need to be there, but it also involves some distance a little bit, you know, just boundaries, let's just say. I've got boundaries.
Yes.
They don't have the boundaries.
Figured it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now, did I see something right that you took 6 years of tiny living?
Yes.
Can you explain what that was and what that did?
Yes, I can. That was a very pivotal time because that was right at the time too that I had hired that business coach. So where I live and grew up in Sonoma County, California, back in 2017, we had big catastrophic wildfires come through our whole community, burned many homes, many establishments, and I was renting at the time. My father and sister lost their home to the fires. I had lost my home indirectly at the time. I had just finished a lease and it was not a home that I necessarily wanted to stay in. So I didn't want to continue with the lease. Next month later, fires came through. My landlord's daughter had lost her home and he said, you need to move out so she can move in. And there was no housing available. Rents were crazy. I had a dog that I love. I still do. And a lot of places wouldn't allow pets. So I was like, man, what am I going to do with my children? And I had a partner at the time. And at that moment, people were buying a lot of fifth wheels and RVs and tiny homes in order to put on their property as they rebuild. And I started looking into that and I saw that there's a whole community, full-time community of people living this way. And I felt this fire inside of me, this excitement. And I was like, I have this love for adventure. And I was like, this feels very adventurous to me. So I looked into buying one and I purchased one and I bought one a little bit older because I wanted to remodel it. I love decorating and transforming spaces. So I did that and I thought it would be for a 5 month period of time. No, I kept doing it and kept doing it because in that time, I had eliminated my possessions so that I didn't have those distractions and I didn't have to take care of things. I got to use my time going out there and actually enjoying my life. I traveled so much. I invested my money. I got to be with my children. My children were not in their rooms with the door closed. We were all together. And I got to be out enjoying my social life. And really in that time too, my tiny home was my haven. And I did so much meditation, so much inner work, just sitting in silence. It helped me learn the art of doing nothing, especially during COVID, coming out of that hustle, go, go, go. I got to keep performing. I got to keep doing to feel worthy. And it just gave me that space to quiet the noise. Simplify life even more. And
I love everything about that. Well, it's a returning to is what I say is, you know, we get so busy and what a beautiful gift for you to give your kids as well in that time. Because what I've learned in the last couple of years is just take a step back and in that silence, not having all that clutter noise. I even from my morning of how I work out, instead of going into a loud gym where everybody's around, there's noise, even though I love the people, I'm like, I need that space, that quiet. I need that moment. So I love everything about that. And I like what you said about investing too, because of course, you know, my background. Now, what a gift that gives you, though, too, in the work you're doing with successful women about the clutter. And, you know, what I find, and I see it a lot is, you know, like you said, that hustle, they're still feeling like they're falling behind. Can you explain that in working with all these high achievers, what you've learned as well, not just yourself, but also your passion of helping other women?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I found with myself that falling behind is obviously that inner critic. We all have an inner critic. I have one.
Mine's very loud.
Pardon?
Mine can become very loud.
Mine can be very loud, and mine comes very loud at nighttime. She likes to show up when I'm vulnerable, sleeping, like unconscious, doing my own thing, and she's there yapping away in the back of my mind.
She's a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Really? So that every morning I learned that I need to get grounded I need to ground myself because she has disrupted things during the evening. And so it's getting centered and getting grounded. And when we don't have an awareness of that inner voice or know that that is not who we are, we fall and play into it. So then, oh, right, I am behind. I'm not doing enough. Because she's going to beat us up. The job of our brain is to keep us safe. Okay, it's doing its job, but knowing that we are not our thoughts. And so to be able to separate from that, I think that when we tie, which I have done, tied our sense of self-worth through to our productivity, then there is never enough, you know? It's an awful
It is an awful place because your minds just keep going. Because I didn't realize how much I was just running so fast that, and like that inner voice usually is at 2 or 3 in the morning is where it's the loudest. And then it could catastrophize, you know, go down the spiral of maybe I should have done this differently at the meeting. Maybe I should have, you know, I didn't get that client. And it was like that, you just have that inner critic that's like, you know, you did this wrong, you know, or, and it's in that middle of the night, you can't get back to sleep. And I think that nervous system reset that you do. And when you find people, I think it's also becomes that lack of sleep, that lack of presence. So I, like you said, that morning grounding, because I start my morning outside, breathing in light and love and out all the garbage, because I used to like run to my laptop and start stressing out about emails. And now I spend, you know, hours like and time and quiet.
And when we do that, that first 10 minutes specifically in your morning is a crucial time, because if you reach for your phone, you're giving permission for other people to hijack your day.
Yes. Grace, I did that forever.
Yeah. So being intentional by not looking at your phone, just taking those first few minutes for yourself, drinking a glass of water, sitting in silence, praying, doing whatever it is that you do to get connected with yourself, higher power, just centered, and then starting your day from there. It's such a game changer in how the rest of your day goes.
Well, and that spirituality you know, I'm a faith and I spend 20 minutes with God in quiet. And people are always like, I don't have 20 minutes. I'm like, well, give it 5. And you don't realize how much more productive you are in that space. Like, I go, and sometimes it's in this little pop-up sauna thing we have. We got a Costco. It's nothing fancy. It's my little prayer bubble. And when I go in, sometimes it's like I'm just sitting in quiet with God. And other times I'll have a question or a challenge or something that's like I'm just, maybe it's a relationship I'm having difficulty with, and I'll just pray for clarity and I sit. And that's where light work came from, actually, was that time with God. And so, but we talked about like that, you know, where women are feeling like they're falling behind and we have to wear many hats, and men do this as well. But there's that, if I'm not going, if I'm not, like they don't see that value in that quiet time. They're like, I don't have time to do that. I'm too busy. Do you tend to hear that a lot? And like, does that spiral into that fatigue and procrastination and all of that?
Absolutely. Yes. In my community, in fact, last week, one of the members, so my community is built of very ambitious, high-performing women who are wanting to rewire their brain and their nervous system. And one of them said, listen, I'm a 10 out of 10 on the burnout scale.
And wow. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. And I've been really trying to teach them the importance of sitting in stillness, getting connected with the higher power, you know, cutting out some of the noise. And this particular member said, now, is there any kind of tips or suggestions that you can give me to prepare me to do that? I said, no. You
just sit there and to prepare you to be quiet.
Yeah. And she admits it's, you know, when you feel that itch, that restlessness, doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It is your nervous system still in that fight or flight. Like, this is uncomfortable. I need to do something.
Yes.
But it's reminding yourself that you are safe. You are okay. And whatever faith you have, God, the higher power, it is there with you, protecting you at all times. And so we can't hear it when there is all that noise going on. So that pause, that silence is a true gift, and we can all access it when we sit still. And it isn't about emptying your brain. It's paying attention to the thoughts and letting them go. That is the exercise. But
it's almost, it's a conditioning, like muscle conditioning.
Exactly. It's like going to the gym. You got it. So it's conditioning.
I love it. Someone had given me at a conference, me and another gentleman, these little hourglasses that were 5 minutes long. And I kind of laughed because this gentleman was very calm and very successful. But I was like, why did he give me and John or Jeff these hourglasses? It kind of made me laugh. But I got it. And I'd be sitting at my desk like a running like a gerbil, you know, like run all over the place. And all of a sudden, I would look at that hourglass and turn it over and just stop for 5 minutes. And at first, within the first second, I was like, my mind's like, I got to make this phone call. I've got to do all these. But I just kept doing it over and over again. And that just would grow. But yeah, I need to track down that gentleman and let him know the impact that hourglass had on me. It was beautiful. And so you've talked about, you know, we can't talk without talking about clutter, about ambition, men and women's desk. What does that represent? Like, so a listener, I've got a lot of leader listeners, their surroundings, their desk. What would you say is something that potentially is getting in the way that of the noise and that hustle?
So this can be controversial. It's always been for many, but when it comes to your desk, what is going on up here? Your desk is it's a manifestation of what's going on up here.
And that's up into your brain. So those who are listening, it's in what's going on in your head.
Yes, it's what's going on in your head. It could be scattered. You could just be having so many thoughts. You have so many to-dos. There's so many options to pick from. And so then the piles start forming. The stuff starts piling up. And then that becomes a visual noise, which then starts to shut down the brain, the prefrontal cortex of the brain. You've got that visual overload. And when your prefrontal cortex is shut down, your decision-making is not good. Your focus is not good. And your emotional regulation is not good. And in that time, we're trying to build a business. We're trying to maintain a business. We're trying to run a family, all the different hats that we're wearing. But your brain is shut down. And so you keep trying to push through, and it's not going to happen. And so then more clutter happens because we're not thinking and making decisions. So when you can't make a decision, the pile starts forming.
Yes.
Right? As I can't make decisions, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's really important, the prefrontal cortex, to come out of fight or flight, get into a regulated state. And that is why rest is super important. And I know that sounds dangerous to those that are high performing, but I have learned to make rest part of my business strategy. Same with travel, because they both have been tremendously beneficial to my own productivity, my own efficiency, clarity, just simplifying, eliminating the noise so that I can come in and make better decisions.
Well, and I think, in my book, I talk about taking new adventures. Like, and the adventure could be a new coffee shop in your neighborhood, not going to the same usual Starbucks. And I say, you know, I used to think I had to go stand in front of the ocean to have that moment of awe. And then I realized there's moments of awe walking out my front door, walking in my backyard, meeting someone and smiling, you know. And so that, you know, whether it's not travel, people can do it. Take a new path to drive to the office, you know, that type of stuff. I started finding that those were helping me slow down and bring clarity to me as well. But the clutter thing drives me bonkers because my husband's a stacker. He stacks stuff and I'm like, keep your stacks away from me because they mentally stress me out. So there,
people find they know where things are. Can I just say what you were saying is so beautiful. It's savoring those moments in our everyday life. And to me, that's what I refer to as romanticizing life. It's just savoring the little moments and being present in them. And they bring so much joy. So you don't have to go thousands of miles away. You can just step outside your front door. I love that, Renee.
Yeah, it literally these last 2 years have been monumental and changing and evolving and that returning to. I didn't do the tiny house, but I've done my own little version of it. Now, people are always striving for more. And we're in a very competitive world. Everyone is like trying to get to the next thing. And I think you and I were both part of that path in more, more, more accomplish, you know, the next thing, accolades. You know, do people ever feel like they have enough, or is enough even attainable in your work?
Yes. Enough is absolutely attainable. It is a mindset shift. It's an identity shift. And I know, because I've seen it with myself, I have progressed so much in my own healing, my own learning, my own, you know, becoming and coming to. And it has a lot to do with your relationship with perfection.
Yes.
When you are a perfectionist, you're always striving for more. There's going to be better out there. And then there is a fine line. I think about the word contentment. I think it's very important to be content, but as somebody who's ambitious and you love, if you're content, then you don't have that fire under your, you know, your booty to get you going. Yeah. So I feel like there's a fine line there, but having enough is, to me, it's daily sitting in gratitude and being so grateful for what I have and then operating from that place. And yeah, it's part of my daily practice with my partner. We share 5 things that we're grateful for each day. And it's just a reminder, because he's a perfectionist recovering. I have been a recovering perfectionist.
Yes.
And so it's making that a practice of really stepping into gratitude for what we already have, and not always looking on the other side, thinking it's greener over
yeah.
there. Really,
how do I compare?
That. Yep, and really
comparison is a horrible. Yeah, I think that the you know, let's focus on women on this one, because we have made progress, and I, you know, and I think there's some of us who were striving up that were like, we got to prove this, you know, and sometimes. Or all the time, you know, a significant part of it was to our detriment. And so I'm hearing so much more from, and I just, you know, met with a friend earlier today that went through a big shift in every aspect of her life. But, you know, there's this period of loneliness, burnout, dissatisfaction. I know, so we're going to start talking to you about your community soon, but what are we missing in the striving? Like what has been missed in that journey that to try to get more?
Unhappiness, true, just misery. This is how we suffer. This is my belief. We suffer because there's never enough, or we're not enough. It's not being able to enjoy what is right in front of you. It's not being able, as you said, stepping out your front door and just appreciating every little thing that's already there. And it's wishing you're somewhere else. It's wishing you had more. It's wishing you had bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Thinner, prettier, everything, that competition too. And I think what I love about, you know, what the work you do is it's always about the returning to. It's not, you need to go out and do this, this, and this, and you're going to lose, you know, take the pill and lose the weight. You're not, and you know, it's really about that working from within and build that foundation. I mean, we don't build a house without, you know, a strong foundation, but yet we go through life without one.
Right. And in what I'm teaching is really about, it's stripping away the noise. It's stripping away what simplicity is. It's eliminating the unimportant to make room for the important. That's the definition of simplicity. And so we think that we need to pile more or have more and have more time in order. That's the fix. It's not. It's really stripping things away. The best systems for your business or at home are the most simplest systems. But us as humans, we want to overcomplicate things. We want to overthink things. And we feel like if something's a little more challenging, then it makes us more successful.
Well, it's like what's interesting because you think when you talk about simplicity, because you're talking about all areas, you're talking about with people's finances, with their environment, with, you know, with their home and their time. Yep. So it's like when you walk into your closet after you cleaned it, you're like, oh, God, that makes me feel so much better. It's like you're looking at other aspects of the life almost in the same way. And I think you'll be proud of me. So I'm someone who doesn't like clutter, but sometimes I don't have the time to declutter something. So when I like my closet right now, as I've gone through the shift from corporate into this new beautiful, you know, world that I'm in now, I'm starting to kind of get away from the clothes that don't fit my future anymore. Even though I loved them, I spent money on them. But now when I walk into my closet, instead of looking at the whole, all the clothes, I take three things at a time. And then over time, I'm just like, every time I go in my closet, you know, okay, just take three things. That's all you have to focus on. And so I'm trying to, you know, declutter some things of this new evolution myself, but making it simple, because otherwise it just doesn't happen. Do you find that's almost that work you do in working with women is talking about the steps they need to take and maybe not look at, you know, it's like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? But
yes. Yes, absolutely. And my motto is, I used to say that too. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And then I tell women to be ruthless. It's really being ruthless. I think what you said was really significant, Renee, because our closets are filled with past versions of ourselves. And so you're stepping into a new phase in life, a new version of Renee, and you want your closet to fit that new version of you, not the past version. And a lot of people have a tough time letting things go. So their closets are of them, past versions, the past. And then they stand there and they go, I have nothing to wear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's also they're standing there saying, I have nothing to wear because they have so many options and it's overwhelming. And they go, I have nothing to wear. It's like my son does. He looks in the refrigerator, in the pantry. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There is, it's just, it takes a little effort to put something together too. You know, there's not a convenient meal in there. So.
Yes. Well, what's interesting is I started realizing I was holding on to this like re-stress that I'd spent, you know, some money on that was beautiful. I loved it. Or I got somewhat of a deal on it, but I was like, the only time I'd wear this dress if I was invited to a NASCAR party, but it was like a dress that I thought was a gorgeous dress. And I'm like, Renee, this isn't serving you. It's been sitting in your closet. And I even told all my girlfriends, if anyone's going to a NASCAR party, I have the dress for you. Well, clearly that's, you know, not a common occurrence, but sometimes it's also releasing things that you feel of, that are of value, even though they aren't value to you. And I feel like that's even the people, you know, the time factor that you talk about of the simplicity and it is the people who you spend your time with that sometimes drain you. It's like that it's decluttering. And so I found that was important for me as well, is who I was spending time with.
Absolutely. I'm very selective around my time and my energy, and it really impacts the people that I surround myself with. Renee, I'm having a party with a friend here on September 5th that you can come. The theme is nowhere to wear it. So you're wearing the outfit that's been hanging in your closet that you haven't had anywhere to wear. And we're pulling it out and we're going to be wearing it. It's going to be like a fashion show that night. And
I think that is awesome.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be overdressed, you know, because they have no.
Okay. I think that is so awesome. Yeah. I've got some formals that I got like that were on like there was like, you know, some type of a discount that I thought was a gorgeous dress. And I haven't got any formal thing. So, oh, September 5th. That's awesome.
This is one tip. This is what I tell people when I feel that sense of guilt or struggle mm-hmm. to let something go. I remind them that they wasted the money when they purchased it, not when they are getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm. So, I love that.
When we buy something just because maybe it's on sale or I don't know, there's a fantasy tied to it, like, oh, I'm going to wear it to this event that never happens. We buy things and then they just sit in our closets with the tags on or nowhere to go. So that is the time when we waste our money is when we purchase it, not when we're letting it go.
I love it. I love it. And someone, you know, who is someone who saves and does, isn't a big spender too myself, that like that's, I still fall, you know, into that, you know, and I'm obviously better now, but buying things that are on sale or the discount that I'm like, why am I buying something that's going to sit in my closet? So now I'm like, and I'm also a big secondhand store. I do thrifting with my daughters and have a blast. And the deals that I'm getting. I'm like so excited of. Now there's a lot of mental clutter, and a lot of people are constantly running and they're forgetting things and they're like losing themselves. What would you say to someone who is like, I can't even, you know, sometimes they can't even get the right sentences out because they're just, their mind's so cluttered with what they have to do next, what they had did yesterday, what they may have done wrong. What would be a tip that you would give to them who are battling that mental clutter?
So I just did a funny reel yesterday where I had post-it notes all over me of all my like different to-dos. And it's like when you sit there and you think today's the day that I'm going to do everything, but then your brain's like, nope, the best I can do is nothing. And it's when we have on our to-do list, it's a mile long and we think that we're going to get through everything. That's when your brain wants to shut down. It's biological. Like this is science. So if we're going to keep trying to beat our heads against something, we're beating our heads against, you know, against science here. So it's really just giving yourself one task, committing to one task that's going to move the needle, and give yourself permission to ignore the rest, which is so uncomfortable feeling, especially to the high achiever. But this is a practice that you want to doing to create that habit and just see how it feels. Back in the day when I was a time management coach, I would tell my clients, hey, create your master to-do list. It's like a brain dump. You're putting everything over there that you want to get out of your brain, but then only pick three things from that master to-do list that you're committed to doing that next day. And that's it. Because you want to feel like a success. You don't want to feel like a failure at the end of the day and beating yourself up.
Yes.
So it's really simplifying that list as well. And then what I think self-care is, it's really getting things off my plate, either delegating it to somebody else or hiring somebody else to help with it, because I want to reclaim my time and have that inner peace too. So
intentional outsourcing.
Yes. And so
I love that. Self-care
to me.
Yeah, I had a friend talk about, she found that every other Saturday they were spending hours cleaning her home. And she's like, I miss all the time with my family because we're just cleaning. And so she hired a cleaning lady. And instead of feeling guilty about it, she was reclaiming her time. And I thought that was beautiful. So I want to make sure we make time for your community, because you have built an incredible community. And I think that a lot of women, especially in high achieving roles, feel that no one gets them. And I remember even growing, you know, I had my own business and in a environment that a lot of women weren't working outside the home. And, you know, I felt like I had to hide parts of myself, you know, because I just couldn't show my whole self. And that's a whole discussion in itself of what I learned too. And I think what you help women becoming where they show up as their whole self. But why do you feel that community is so important for successful men and women? And men have a hard time too, finding that community.
They do. You know, when I started this journey, I had more men coming to me saying, do you work with men than than women? And I've just made a intentional choice to work with women as I identify, you know, as that. And I've been through the hustle and being a mother and the invisible load that we're all carrying. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to simplify my plate myself. So I'm focusing on women. So one member said to me, she's like, I'm in here because I don't feel alone. Because out there in the world, she holds a high level position. She manages a bunch of people. And she doesn't feel like she can always show her true self. And so in this community, she knows that all the other women are there, entrepreneurs or high level corporate, and she just doesn't feel alone. And she can feel safe in communicating where she feels like she's struggling, or understands that other women know what she's going through. And so we're there to hold space for one another, to lift each other up, and also hold each other accountable. And it's a beautiful container where we're all working to show up even more and more ourselves every day. So in this community,
I love that.
That's what the women are really learning to do, by reminding themselves that they are safe.
Yeah. Well, and I think cheering each other on and having that somebody else gets me, where they're not like everyone's coming together to support one another and feel like they're part of something. Because, and I think for men too, it's hard because men don't usually want to talk about what is going wrong. And I know even when I talked to my husband about it, it's like, there's really not that community for a lot of men. You have to really seek it out. And for women though, I think it's easier for us to claim the space in that environment and be like, okay, this is me. I showed up to the office. I had two different shoes on. I couldn't get an intentional thing out of my mouth. What is going on? You know, this is what's happening.
Yeah. So my community, Sacred Simplicity, it is about rewiring the nervous system and the brain. And it's really decluttering the inside. And by doing that, our physical spaces, particularly the home, naturally transforms. So what we're doing in this community is working to create a nourishing and supportive environment for ourselves. So they both go hand in hand. We affect our environment and our environment affects us. And what you were just saying about women see clutter differently. We spot the clutter and it affects us differently than it affects men. And so that is a big game changer. And I'm bringing the science and the spirituality together here in this community.
I love that.
There was something I was going to say, Renee.
Well, you have the science, simplicity, and spirituality, which I love. And so for women, like some women haven't been part of a community because they have been that person that's going, you know, is it like, how often do you get together? What would it look like to somebody who is curious about learning more of what that looks like?
We have a live training call every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Standard Pacific time. And that is a call where we come together. We start off with a good grounding practice because by the middle of the day, we need another good grounding. And then there's a teaching moment. We take time to journal, reflect, because we're doing it right there on the call to make sure that we get it done. We're sharing our wins. We're sharing what our next action step is for the week. We're there rooting each other on. Then there's also the video lessons that I create, and they're dropped. Modules are dropped once a month, and this is something that they can do at their own time and pace. So it's an added steps on how they can transform their home, their relationship with time, their relationship with money. And then we also have the community. And then we've also leveled it up with accountability partners as well. And
that's fantastic.
It is. And there's so much space to be able to live life because I know we're all have a full plate. So it's not a community where I have to do more and all that, but it's showing up. One of the community members said this the other day too. I said, "Hey, how has this community really transformed you?" She says, "There's not one big change or one big bang that happened. It's that I see it in my everyday moments throughout life, like her daily moments. She's seeing it because she is showing up differently. Now she says when the blanket's on the floor, she knows right where it goes and what to do with it. And it doesn't overwhelm her or she doesn't sit there and hem and haw over it." So
they could do at, and we're going to share this in the follow-up too. It's your website is thegracebrook.com.
Just gracebrook.com. Yeah.
Oh, just gracebrook.com. And what's the cost of the community, if you don't mind me asking?
$97 a month.
Okay. So listeners, it's $97 a month. And think about all that you got. I think that is fantastic. Well, before I get to some of the closing questions, oh my gosh, we could talk for days. I'm going to go into a lightning round right now too. And I just need you to finish these sentences. Now, don't be like Todd Boehm, my last guest, that answered it in three sentences. I'm teasing. I had to throw Todd in there. I'm teasing. But if you could finish these sentences, I'll just start the first couple words and then tag you. Okay. Ready? Okay. Confidence is. Love that. Every woman deserves.
Support.
I love that. I think men too on that one. Leadership means?
Guiding.
Yes, I love that.
I'm getting real short.
I love this. This is, I'm gonna send this part to Todd. Todd is fantastic. Obviously, I love him. The biggest lie women believe is?
I have to do it all.
God has been teaching me?
surrender.
When I need peace, I That's easy. Everyone can do that. I love that. So imagine you have grandkids, let's say, in the future. What do you hope they say about you?
My grandma had the biggest heart, and she saw me for exactly who I was, loved me for exactly who I was, accepted me for exactly who I was, and she had so much joy in her smile and in her eyes. She just had this beautiful love for life and a peace and a calmness about her that just made her magnetic.
I love that. And, you know, so for those listeners, I'm going to have this in the description, but you need to follow Grace too on social media. So her Instagram is at The Grace, which is G-R-A-C-E, Brooke, B-R-O-O-K-E. Her website is just Grace Book, www.gracebrook.com. Anything else where they should follow you? Or I know Instagram, but I know you've got others. Find her across in YouTube and TikTok and everything else as well. Your daily posts make me laugh, make me self-reflect, make me stop and be like, that is me. But your community is fantastic. And I love that you're doing that. I think our world needs more of that. So is there, what's bringing you the most joy at this part of your life? Because you have a beautiful evolution.
Yeah, thank you. I think, you know, what's just exciting me right now is building this new career where I'm online as opposed to in person, and I get to do it a completely different way. And I'm being intentional about it. And I love the women like you that I'm meeting and connecting with. And we are like reinventing ourselves. And it's a really special way. And I have my dreams. And I am so excited because I'm going for them. I'm not holding myself back. I'm putting myself out there in every way possible and not living small. And that excites me.
I love it.
It's scary, but it's
exciting. Oh my gosh. And you are such an amazing light. You are. Every time I see you or see you virtually, you are such a beautiful gift to all of us. And, so anything that, for a man or woman listening today that you'd want to leave them with?
Anything that I would want to leave them with. Let's see. Give yourself grace. Really. It's learning to be gentler with yourself, because when we push through and we beat ourselves up, it does not get us where we want to go. We all need that support, and it starts with ourselves, you know, giving it to ourselves and the understanding and the grace. And when we do that, it softens us, and then we actually can do and get where we want to be. It's a beautiful
thing. I love that.
Yeah.
Start with grace. And I love how your name is Grace.
I'm very grateful for my name. As Grace, I'm taking advantage of it now.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much for this, Grace. I love it. I'm smiling, and there's so many other things I could ask you. I had to skip over some questions because there was so much good stuff. And, you know, what I always leave these with, the Lightwork Challenge. And so I actually got this from you. I was from one of your posts. So for listeners, this week's Lightwork Challenge is this. Instead of asking, how much can I squeeze in, ask what's worth of my energy. And that was from Grace. So instead of how much can I squeeze in, what's worth my energy? And I think that's beautiful, because doing the work today that, you know, that I'm still in this evolution with, learning from Grace as well, with Grace, what you've done and now are teaching, and allowing this community to form for people to come together and build these lives that are more of significance and not just of success. And so thank you, listeners. Be sure to follow her. You connect, be a part of her community, learn more. I'm going to have all of her information there. If any of this resonated with you or you think someone else should listen, please send it, forward it, follow us. We'd love 5 stars as well. It's on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. Also, if you have not picked up my book, Lightwork, Life Beyond the Ladder, it is on Amazon. So I would love for that support. And just, I'm going to leave you, everyone, with just be you, give yourself grace, and go spread your light.